is Dickered Up. The official podcast of the Cars Tour is on the air. Presented by Puryear Tank Lines. The Cars Tour, the premier late model stock series. Short track racing at its very best. Stickered Up will feature A-list guests, the hottest topics, race previews, recaps, the good, the bad, and the ugly. If it happens on the Cars Tour, Stickered Up is chewing on it. Here's your host, Stephen Dunn.
And happy race week, everyone. Stickered Up, the official podcast of the Solid Rock Carriers Cars Tour, is on the air, and it is the final race week of 2023. We will head to the foothills of Sophia, North Carolina, Caraway Speedway, the home of the 21st annual John Blewett Memorial North-South Shootout in the memory of Charles Kepley. The late model stock cars and the pro late models will be in action, along with the Tour Modifieds and the 602 Modifieds. But before we jump in to previewing this weekend's festivities, we have to go back a couple of weeks to recap our Cars Tours trip to Tri-County Speedway, the Blue Ridge 250. The Pro Late Models took to the racetrack first, and it was an interesting Pro Late Model race. We go to our friends at Flow Racing for the recap.
Into the KRC Power Steering start zone they come, and the Pro Late Model portion of the Blue Ridge 250 from Tri-County is underway, with Nick Loden getting the jump on the high side, Brent Cruz trying to follow suit behind him.
You can see exactly why that top lane going to be favored here on many of these restarts. Pretty much the same thing that we saw at South Boston a week ago. It's that 25 car Bochelle going to be stuck on the bottom for now, and he's not going to be able to get up before Katie Hettinger, again trying to make up every single point that she can on her championship competitor, and Kaden Quappel is going to try to make her way up into third.
Hettinger inside, maybe with an opportunity to slide up in front of Brent Cruz, but she keeps the fender inside for the lead in three. Hettinger, who has been the model of consistency in 2023, now out in front of this field while Ashton Higgins tries to make the bottom work for himself as well in car number nine.
Both drivers very respectful about it. Almost not enough room there for Loden to exit.
And look who's lurking. Kaden Quappel right there.
Wow.
Just enters the picture in fourth and sees these two rubbing side to side in that battle for second place. This is allowing Hettinger to break free. Contact there. Off the corner they come. Cruz may get the spot. They're not done bouncing off each other in three.
They're racing hard in front of them. If you're Kaden Quappel, you got to think big picture. There's probably a competition caution coming up here. You really got to manage this. This is right in front of your championship leader.
Loden almost up to the fuel cell of Brent Cruz on the home stretch, and now here comes Quappel on the bottom side of the 43 for third.
And Quappel had to check up there to not get in the back of Loden. Again, you have to be smart here. You have to think points. You're down four, but you want to make up those spots. You just don't want to lose it all right here.
Championship drivers in the top three, Katie Hettinger and Brent Cruz, who only cares about winning, bring us back into the KRC Power Steering restart zone. Quappel trying to make a third lane on the bottom as they come off turn two. 20 laps to settle it at Tri-County. We're back underway into the KRC Power Steering restart zone. Quappel with an edge and sliding up the racetrack as they almost come together. They do come together off two.
A touch and a nudge for the lead and for the championship here at Tri-County. You have to wonder if perhaps Katie Hettinger has a little bit of a tire rub there after the contact that they made. Quappel, though, able to drive it in on the bottom. Hettinger still with just a nose up top. They nearly touch once again off of turn number two.
Quappel tried to throw a shoulder, and Hettinger wouldn't let it happen. Behind them, side by side for third. Hettinger back alongside Quappel for the race lead in one.
Just trying to get rolling and stay to the outside of that 96.
Oh, no!
They hit! Hettinger spins out, and the rest of the field is going to pile in. Heavy carnage as they wad him up. Ashton Higgins, Brent Cruz, Nick Loden involved.
18 laps to go into the KRC Power Steering restart zone they come. And Bochelle is on the button and gone. Higgins tries to rim ride as we got a crash. Hettinger and Quappel crash into turn number one.
They keyed up to the Kaden Quappel crew. Just be aware. Don't let her end our night. And, I mean, I think there's nothing to be said there. I mean, that's pretty cut and dry there on that restart.
18 laps to go. Gavin Bochelle and Ashton Higgins lead us back down to the restart. Chris Wright was ready to go, and that's 27. He ducked down to the bottom already.
And what happens here with two to go? Trying to run the outside, but that 25 has a lot of speed right now. They'll come around this time to see the white flag.
What is Gavin Bochelle willing to do? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack. Ashton Higgins to the white flag. Boschel drives it in on the bottom of the racetrack in one and two, but Higgins holds the spot. Contact off the corner. Higgins saves the race car. Boschel sends it in deep on the bottom. Into the side of Higgins, he crashes. Gavin Boschel through for the win. And what is going to be a championship extending race victory, his third win of the season.
And after the dust settled, it was Caden Quapel who was in victory lane. He was followed by Chase Berta. Brandon Setzer, our guest a couple of weeks ago, was able to finish third. Logan Jones was fourth. Brett Cruz was fifth. Again, this was a very, very interesting race. 18 cars took the green flag. Katie Hettinger, who was on a rail there midway through, her and Caden Quapel got together. They both wrecked, took out some really good race cars there on the back straightaway, including pole sitter Nick Loden. And then extracurricular activity happened where Hettinger came back out, tried to intentionally wreck Caden Quapel on a restart. And then obviously there at the end, Ashton Higgins, who had victory in sights coming out of turn four with the checkered flag in the air, and him and Gavin Boschel got together. Some extracurricular activity, some fines, some suspensions. It was really a mess of a pro late model race, and essentially Caden Quapel will win the championship this weekend by basically starting this weekend with Katie Hettinger serving a one race suspension. So very interesting pro late model race. Once the dust settled, the main event, 125 laps of the late model stock cars, will return to our friends at Flow Racing for the recap.
Pace car will dive to the safety of the pits through the KRC power steering start zone. The Blue Ridge 125 from Tri-County in the penultimate race for the Cars Tour is underway. Early jump on the outside from Butterbean. He's able to clear Sawalich for second. Hall nearly brushed the wall off of turn number two, but it looks like it's going to be good enough for him to get up into third as he gets way high with some cars looking to go two or three wide. I believe that was Huffman that ducked his nose back down to the bottom. Steven Nassi trying to make his way one spot further up the road, but Cade Brown, again, somebody who has raced a lot at Hickory, as he's the track champion for 2023 at that racetrack and has made many a trips up here to Tri-County. Won a race earlier this year in late model stock car competition here at this racetrack. Knows how to get around it and find where his car works best for sure. As we work through the KRC power steering restart zone, back underway to settle it all here at Tri-County. Contact amongst your front two. Here comes Cade Brown up the inside, three wide as they work off the corner. Sawalich in a sandwich right now.
And Connor Hall is trying to take advantage up top. Sawalich slides up to protect the spot. Hall jacks him up on the front stretch. And a big pile up on the main straightaway. Several cars involved. Massey trying to hold on to a top five spot over Bobby McCarty, who edges him out at the line for fifth that time. Massey working the top side, McCarty on the bottom, and Cade Brown waiting in the wings. See what happens with these drivers in this fight.
And again, Cade Brown just so impressed with the fact that he was able to keep his race car together. Got a lot of contact, a little bit like what he just gave to Bobby McCarty. Was able to keep it together, and again, props to the rest of this field as well, who reacted in due measure to keep this race rolling as is right now. 13 laps to go.
About halfway to the inside door of Steven Nassi, as these two veteran drivers who have accomplished so much in their racing career with so much still to come, now battling it out here in the late model stock cars for the final seat at the table to check off a top five finish here tonight at Tri-County. McCarty tries to dig deep on the inside off four.
Well, you can remember the 23 was just behind this battle, and he is significantly slower these last couple of laps as he's going to fall back into the clutches of Millington and the rest of the field. So Cade Brown, big issue. He's lost nearly 3 or 4 tenths the last couple of laps. Brendan Butterbean Queen looking to go to victory lane once again after his triumph at New River All-American Speedway in dominant fashion, and off of turn four for the final time, redemption for Butterbean. He wins the Blue Ridge 125 at Tri-County.
And Brendan Queen, the winner of the 125 lap feature of the Blue Ridge 250, again led all 125 laps, a dominating performance by the Lee Pullian Performance driver. As he mentioned, redemption for what what he felt like was one that slipped through the cracks in the 30,000 to win race about a month and a half ago. Mason Diaz with a strong run, he finished second. Landon Huffman, the winner at Tri-County earlier in the year, he finished third. Deke McCaskill was fourth. Steven Nassi was fifth. Bobby McCarty, sixth. Ryan Millington, seventh. Chad McCombie, eighth. Jacob Hefner, ninth. Carson Quapple rounded out the top 10. Again, 28 cars took the green flag. Taking a quick look at the point standings heading into the final weekend this weekend at Caraway. Carson Quapple, he's not mathematically going to be the champion, but it's going to take a whole lot of things to happen against Carson Quapple and for Brendan Queen in order for this race to tighten up to be competitive. A 19-point cushion heading into Caraway this weekend. Mason Diaz in third. He's 95 points out. Brandon Willard has the caution flag out on this first segment of Stickered Up. We'll take this opportunity. Come down pit road, sticker up when we return. We will preview this weekend's action at Caraway Speedway. You're listening to the Stickered Up Podcast.
Stickered Up, official podcast of the Cars Tour. Courier Tank Lines, a trucking company run by drivers for drivers. For over three generations, Purrier has been leading in driver happiness, client satisfaction, and safety. They love trucking, family, and racing. As a Purrier driver, you'll earn up to $100,000 per year plus exceptional benefits, including exclusive access to Purrier racing events. Enjoy flexible scheduling, career path opportunities, zero split seating, and much more. Visit drivepurrier.com to learn more.
We're all familiar with the term batteries not included. Well, that does not apply to Volt Battery distributed by Meredith Battery. They're all about batteries. Meredith Battery has Volt batteries for all applications, including auto, marine, commercial, golf cars, power sport, and motorsport. Meredith Battery of Anderson, South Carolina. Their Volt Battery customers are frequent visitors to Victory Lane at your local short tracks in the Southeast each and every week. For more information and to buy your next Volt battery, contact the team at 864-226-9090. 864-226-9091. And on Facebook and Instagram, Volt Battery, distributed by Meredith Battery, the official battery of the Cars Tour and the Stickered Up Podcast.
GXS Wraps is your one stop for all your vehicle and motorsports graphics needs. Since 2018, GXS Wraps has offered turnkey solutions including design, printing, and installation of premium final graphics for fleet vehicles, personal vehicles, and race cars. 100% of our services offered are completed at our 4,800 square foot facility located in Apex, North Carolina. Check us out on the web, GXSWraps.com, or give us a call, 919-213-0371, to get started on your next wrap. GXS Wraps, the official graphics partner of the Cars Tour and the Stickered Up Podcast.
Hey, this is Brandon Willard waving the flags for the Cars Tour. You're listening to the Stickered Up Podcast.
Green flag back in the air, this edition of the Stickered Up Podcast, the official podcast of the Solid Rock Carriers Cars Tour. As mentioned in segment one, final race weekend of 2023, and we head to Caraway Speedway this weekend for the running of the 21st annual John Blewett the Third Memorial North-South Shootout in memory of Charles Kepley. Action will actually start today, Thursday, November the 2nd, with Cars Tour registration starting at 7 o'clock. Late model stock cars will hit the track for practice. They will alternate practices with the pro late models. They will go from basically high noon until right a little after 6 o'clock at 6:10. Pits will close at 7, and then Friday, action will begin again at the racetrack. Again, Cars Tour will hit the racetrack at 10 a.m. for practice. They will alternate with the pro late models and late model stock cars. Again, final late model stock car practice will be at 2:15. They'll go till 2:35, and then pro late models 2:55 to 3:15. And then the grandstands will open at 4:30, and then qualifying for the event on Saturday will take place on Friday starting at 5 o'clock. Late model stock cars, the pro late models, the tour modifieds, and the 602 modifieds, all four divisions that will be in action on Saturday will qualify on Friday afternoon. And then taking a quick look at Saturday's activities, again, it's a shorter, condensed day. Garage is going to open at 7:30. Grandstands will open at 10 a.m., and then you've got a meet and greet that goes from 11:45 to 12:05. Pre-race ceremonies at 12:30, and the green flag for the North-South Shootout. Brandon Willard will throw that in the air at 1 o'clock. The race lineup, the pro late models will be first with 100 laps, then the Late model stock cars for 125 laps, the 602 modifieds for 50, and rounding out the event with the tour modifieds for 125 laps. Taking a quick look at the entry list for this weekend's activities at Caraway, we've got 14 pro late models pre-registered for this weekend's festivities. They include Jessica Coulter, George Phillips back in action in the number six for Setzer Development, Corey Casagrande, Rusty Skews, Austin McDonald, Aiden King, Jimmy Renfro Jr., Joshua Horniman, Michael Litchfield, Caden Honeycutt will be doing double duty this weekend. He'll be in the number 51 this weekend on the pro side. Charlie Keevan, Logan Jones, Caden Quapple, and Ashton Higgins will actually be in a Highland Motorsports car this weekend. Again, his car was destroyed at Tri-County, coming to the checkered flag when the accident happened while he was leading the race. But he will be in a Highlands Motorsports car this weekend, jumping over to the late model stock car side. And we've got 27 cars entered for this weekend's festivities. They include our most recent winner, Brendan Queen, Ronnie Bassett Jr., Landon Pimbleton, Andrew Grady, Brandon Pierce, Dylan Wilson, Kyle Dudley, Bobby McCarty, Dylan Wilson, Carson Quapple, Chase Burrow, Caden Honeycutt in the 10 this weekend for R&S race cars. That's a change. Jared Fryer, who's really good at Caraway, he's also in the field this weekend. Ryan Millington, Logan Clark, Chad McCombie, Laney Bruce, Landon Huffman, Mason Diaz, Zach Miracle back in action this weekend. Heath Causey, who is a regular at Caraway's, in action this weekend. Cameron Boland, Coy Beard, who's also a regular at Caraway. He's run the Cars Tour races at Caraway. He'll be in the number 75 this weekend. NASCAR national champion Connor Hall back behind the wheel, the number 77 for Chad Bront Racing. And then Trevor Ward, he has done nothing but win big money races, the winner at Martinsville last month, and he won this past weekend at Ace Speedway in the Rodney Cook Classic. He'll be behind his familiar number 77, Mini Tyrell, and rounding out the 27 car late model stock car field out of Carroll Speed Shop is Jacob Hefner. Brandon Willard has the caution flag out on this segment of Stickered Up. When we come back, we'll have my take on how the Cars Tour season has gone here in 2023. You're listening to the Stickered Up podcast.
Stickered Up, official podcast of the Cars Tour. We're laser cutting and CNC bending. Geo cut for media blasting and surface conditioning. GeoCut, South Boston, Virginia, for powder coating. GeoCut. On-demand laser cut parts. Just go to geocutfabrication.com. Upload your part drawing. Select the material and quantity and then see your instant quote immediately with the option to order right then and there. 434-201-4824. GeoCutFabrication.com. 611 Railroad Avenue, South Boston, Virginia. One part or 1 million parts. GeoCut has you covered.
Tank Lines, a trucking company run by drivers for drivers. For over three generations, Purrier has been leading in driver happiness, client satisfaction, and safety. They love trucking, family, and racing. As a Purrier driver, you'll earn up to $100,000 per year plus exceptional benefits, including exclusive access to Purrier racing events. Enjoy flexible scheduling, career path opportunities, zero split seating, and much more. Visit drivepurrier.com to learn more.
Practice. Race. Win. Performance Racing Warehouse, home of the PRW chassis. They feel the thrill of victory and agony of defeat with every customer. With a cutting-edge, track-tested chassis, they know what it takes to build a race-winning machine. The PRW chassis has a proven track record of wins and championships that speak for themselves. When you're ready to take your performance to the next level, come visit Performance and let them get you in victory lane. Online at performancecenter.com. Also, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok. And you can call Performance Racing Warehouse at 704-838-1400.
Hey, this is Brendan Butterbean Queen, driver to number 03 Old School Video Games, LeithCars.com Toyota, and you're listening to Stickered Up.
Green flag back in the air, this edition of the final Stickered Up podcast of 2023. And it's been a really, really interesting year on the Cars Tour side. And you guys don't hear our producer, Morgan Patrick, very often, but Morgan is behind the glass here, and he basically makes us sound really good each and every weekend and or week. And I wanted to bring him on and kind of chat with him and kind of recap this this 2023 season, man. And you got the opportunity to go to North Wilkesboro and experience that. And just, you know, let's just, you know, shoot the breeze here for a few minutes on your thoughts on 2023.
Well, first and foremost, it's hard to believe we are wrapping up season three of Stickered Up. And I remember having the initial conversations about producing a podcast that would cover the Cars Tour, and having that initial pitch to the Cars Tour and basically say, look, you don't have to do a thing. You know, we're going to produce this. We want to cover it. We'd love your support. And they absolutely jumped on board. And it's kind of been a whirlwind. You've done a fantastic job, Stephen. You are a very passionate fan of this sport, but you have turned into a covering media member, but you're also someone that can walk through the pit area with you know, your companies that help with so many different things when it comes to the Cars Tour, especially the wraps on some of these race cars. So you get to know the race teams. You can get the skinny, so to speak, when a lot of people couldn't get that information or walk, you know, that path in the garage, which you do. And I really think that the race teams appreciate the fact that you you know, you walk the walk and you talk the talk, and you're very supportive of what they're doing. Now, that being said, to watch this podcast kind of grow, change, and then we get to season three, and it is the ownership change.
Yeah.
And it was just very intriguing that you watch something. And again, I've followed motor racing, you know, pretty much my entire life. Really didn't get into it until after college, when one of my first employers, my first general managers, was a huge NASCAR guy and worked with PRN and MRN back when you could cross streams, and they had turn announcers that would do both series. And he traveled quite a bit.
Yeah.
But he got me into NASCAR, and I actually, you know, was at Myrtle Beach Speedway when Junior started cutting his teeth, you know, obviously covered his dad a little bit. But to watch what has happened with the Cars Tour and how it's grown and how it's really kind of caught the attention of some big, big names. And then we get to season three, and it's Junior, and it's Harvick, and it's Burton. I mean, you don't get much bigger than that. So it's been impressive to watch, but I think a lot of us are very concerned about how the series is going to go on from here.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the one thing that concerns me is I like some of the things that the series has done. You know, I think that obviously there are always things that you can improve on, things that you can be better at. I think that, you know, starting at the beginning of the season when we all showed up at Southern National, and, you know, there's more media, there's more eyes on the Cars Tour.
Absolutely.
Right off the get-go.
Yeah.
And then when you've got the likes of Jeff Burton talking at the driver's meeting, and people took notice, and we sent cars home the first two races, you know, at Southern National and at Hickory. And that's a testament to, I think it was a lot of it was the hype and the buildup. A lot of that, to me, a lot of that kind of came to a, not say a screeching halt, but it was all leading up to the big weekend at North Wilkesboro, which I think was race five or race six on the schedule. And
what a showcase.
Had a phenomenal weekend. You know, Brendan Queen and his Lee Pullian Performance guys, you know, not say they had the field covered, but I mean, they really did their homework and really knocked that one out of the park. But then you look at, you know, Lane Riggs and his family car. You know, that's the only time that Lane ran his family car all year in the Cars Tour. He was a contender. Just the fanfare that we had. I mean, you obviously got a chance to go to that that week, that race with us, with just everything that was wrapped around. They're going to do it again in 2024. That's one of the schedule hasn't come out, but that's one of the things that they have indicated, that the Cars Tour will be part of the NASCAR All-Star Weekend. So I think that's a good thing. But I think my concern was, is once we got to North Wilkesboro, some of the shininess kind of came off the Cars Tour a little bit, I think. And I think some of that had to do with the way that late models had to lock in to be in that feature. And it kind of, you know, but look, on the flip side, we've got 27 cars scheduled for the season finale. Usually when you get towards the end of the year, people don't have opportunities at championships and they've run out of money or whatever. That starts to dwindle down. So I think it's really a testament to the teams that have committed to the cars toward that they're still doing that. So I feel like this weekend will be great. I think they're in the middle of the season, kind of got back to, I would say, traditional cars tour where you're, you know, that 20 to 24 car field instead of having 35 late models show up for 28 spots. I think, you know, obviously the newness wore off and it kind of got back. And I think the next the domino that fell for me as we go through the season is we get to Caraway in July, a Wednesday night race, which, you know, I thought it was they had a great crowd at Caraway for that race. But that's where the ownership group, and I actually got a chance to talk with Kevin Harvick quite a bit on that Wednesday afternoon as he was on the property and his car that Lane Riggs was driving crossed the start finish line first, but then got DQ'd, which was a whole nother thing. But that's where they introduced the addition of Kip Childress in his new role with the Cars Tour. And having a chance to talk with Kip here on the podcast and also every week at the racetrack, get a chance to chat with him. I'm really excited about what he brings to the series, being that he has been a race director, right? He's worked in NASCAR. He's done all these different things. And I think that if the ownership group gives him the opportunity to do the things that he can do, I think that it's a huge benefit to the series.
So, and again, we've had these conversations. You've interviewed people. You've talked about it on the podcast throughout the season. How concerned are you about pricing and how expensive it's going to get? Or it is? I mean, it's already expensive, but we're seeing just more and more money being pushed in to this series. And we've got a lot of, you know, race teams out there that are going to struggle to make the numbers.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, and again, like you mentioned earlier, you know, I do have great rapport and great relationships with a lot of these team owners and these drivers and sponsors. And I've had these conversations with, you know, teams and drivers and sponsors. And we're in this transition period and the silly season's already started, which I think is it's funny that we say there is a silly season in late model stock car. That was unheard of, you know, and I think that's a product of the Cars Tour, right? And the popularity and all the eyeballs that are on that. We're in a situation now where, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr., who obviously is one of the series owners, he owns a late model program. He's owned a late model program for years. That's where Josh Berry came from. Josh Berry will be driving the number four for Stewart Haas next year and run for Rookie of the Year in the Cup Series. So it's a testament to his commitment to late model and short track racing. He's getting ready to wrap up potentially back-to-back championships on the late model stock car side with Carson Quapple. He's won championship with Josh Berry, but he's got a full-time car in the series. Kevin Harvick's going to have one, maybe two full-time cars in the series next year. Trackhouse and those guys, with Marks being a partial owner, Trackhouse is already Shane Van Gisberg, the road course ringer that won the Chicago road course race. When his press release came out from Trackhouse, as far as his plans, they specifically said that he is going to be running Cars Tour races as part of his development program next year. So Trackhouse is now going to have a team. So while that's great and while I think it's exciting, it's just a continued trickle-down effect of the technology and the money that goes behind, you know, cup-level cars, Xfinity-level cars, truck-level cars. It's going to make it really hard for the Deke McCaskills to compete with that because they don't have the same resources. They don't have the same amount of financial backing to have that 10th of a second edge, which in the Cars Tour is absolutely enormous. You know, a 10th of a second determines between sitting on the pole and starting 16th. That's how competitive this is, which when we had Deke on a couple weeks ago after we won at South Boston, you could tell in his voice how important that he said, this is probably the biggest win of my career because of what we had to go up against to get that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a little concerning. You know, the Cameron Bowlings, who was a family run team, like, you know, he got messed up. He got up into someone else's mess at Tri-County and didn't know if he was going to make it to Caraway this weekend. But they rallied the troops and got everything together. But, like, I don't know that someone like a Cameron Bowling can do that. Dylan Wilson, again, a great personality, someone that I've loved having on the series and on the tour all year long. But he got into a situation where he wrong place, wrong time at Langley, destroyed a race car, and then basically was, you know, competing with a 15-year-old race car for the next 3 to 4 races while they were putting that one back together. Like, that's what concerns me, is that it's gotten to a level where it's not just late model stock car racing. It is the premier division of late model stock car. And I think it is a true stepping stone now to where you can run a Cars Tour series, be competitive, and that give you the opportunity to run an Xfinity. Lane Riggs is a perfect example. Lane has run the Cars Tour religiously for the last 5 years, did something different, ran for a national championship a year ago, was able to win that over Peyton Sellers, and then it kind of springboarded him into the opportunity to drive for Kevin Harvick in the late model. And now he's got an opportunity in the Xfinity to drive for some high marker teams. So, you know, I think it's a great stepping stone. But again, like, is it really late model, the true grassroots late model stock car racing that we all have remembered for the last 25, 30 years?
So if you had to give this year, this season, and it's a historic season for the Cars Tour with everything, with all the changes that have happened. If you had to give the season a grade, would you go out and give it a grade, or would you give it an incomplete, almost like a wait and see?
I mean, I think the first year, I think they did everything that they needed to do. They made some changes. They made some pretty drastic changes. You go from a streaming partner in Pit Row TV that has basically been the streaming partner from day one. And all the knowledge and all the expertise that a Tony Stevens brought to the table, that's hard to replace, especially with a new streaming partner, someone that's not as familiar with the series and what helped grow that series. I think Flo's done a pretty good job in year one with the Cars Tour. I know that those guys, I know that their executive folks were at Tri-County. I know that they're working diligently to make the broadcast better. And I think in anything you do, whether it's business or you know, leisure activity, you want to be the best that you can be. And I know that Flo is trying to do things to improve. But again, that was kind of an 11th hour deal. Like, we didn't know who was streaming Cars Tour until like less than a month before we got to Southern National. So that probably had a little bit to do with it, in my opinion. I think that Blake and Eric have done a phenomenal job in year one. You know, they speak very well. They're very knowledgeable about the drivers. Those guys go down there and, you know, they're trying to get the skinny, you know, so that makes the broadcast
doing
better.
Their homework.
Yeah, they're doing their homework. I think that Flo has, I mean, there's been a couple of hiccups, but we all have hiccups, you know. So I think that was obviously a big thing that was different. You know, I think the other thing that that kind of sticks out to me is, especially Wilkesboro, you know, you had Harvick and Junior, Daniel Suarez, Chase Briscoe. You had, like, the Melon Man, Trice Chastain. You had, you know, six, and Brad Keselowski. You had, like, 6 to 8 Cup drivers running in this late model race. You know, Kyle Larson jumping in at Caraway, you know. And I think you'll see more of that next year. And I don't know. I think it's good for I think it's good for eyeballs. I think it's good for ticket sales. But the thing that I like the most about it, Morgan, is that it really shows you how good the race car drivers are in the Cars Tour series. when Kyle Larson, who is a Cup champion, is in the best equipment that he can be in junior motorsports equipment, and struggles to finish top 10 against these late model guys. That's what's impressive to me, is that I think that our drivers that have been in this series for so long, the Bobby McCartys, the Mason, even Mason Diaz, like Mason's had a phenomenal year this year. Got his first Cars Tour win, but he's been a competitor for years, you know. You know, Justin Carroll, Jacob Heffner, those guys, man, like the Deke McCaskills, the Jared Fryers, you know, those guys, they do their homework and they're really good. And a lot of these guys will never get the opportunity to take the next step to an Xfinity car or a Cup car, because unfortunately, you got to bring a big check with you. You got to bring big sponsors with you. That's where, and it's not really, to me, it's not a Cars Tour problem. It's a big racing problem, because if your mom or dad can bring a big checkbook, you can go as high as you want. And I just don't feel like that it's, I feel like your climb up the ladder is not based on performance anymore. It's based on how deep your pocketbooks are. And honestly, unfortunately, I think you see some of that in the Cars Tour now, because I think you've got some younger drivers that probably aren't ready that are getting opportunities because they do have money.
So I want to ask you, this will be the last question, and I don't want to go negative. I want to go positive. Yeah. So what do you feel like? What's the biggest moment of the season? I mean, I would think Wilkesboro, just because of the history and because of the eyeballs. It might be before the racing even starts when they announce a new ownership group. But what do you feel like the biggest moment of the season has been to this point?
I'll answer that twofold. I think for the series, the two highlights for me, obviously Wilkesboro, just because of the amount of eyeballs, the fanfare, the fact that the you had two really good races on the pro and the late model side, and then the ASA Star Super Late Models actually were there. They got rained out the night before, so we actually had three races on that Wednesday night, and had Chase Elliott in that race. So, like, that whole it honestly didn't feel like a Cars Tour race. It felt like a Cup race, you know, and you were there, the fanfare, everything going on, the hospitality, the amount of people. That was obviously a big moment, I think, for the series. It was a big moment for me, looking at the series, when the ownership group announced at Caraway that Kip Childress was going to be taking this new role. That was kind of the first big move that the series made as far as what direction they wanted to go in. And then the other weekend that really stands out to me is the Old North State Nationals at Tri-County, that Landon Huffman was able to win. And that was, again, that race always has a lot of intricate parts, you know, people running out of gas. You know, and I look at that weekend, and we had Landon on to talk about that. That weekend was special for a lot of reasons, not just for the series, but for him and for Nelson Motorsports. I feel like that was an opportunity for Landon to really showcase how talented he is. Because we all know Barry Nelson and Nelson Motorsports has been one of the heavy hitters in the Cars Tour for a long time. Won three championships with Bobby McCarty. They did not come out of the gate very fast at all to start the season. They struggled mightily. And that was kind of an effect that we saw in 2022, where they had Bobby McCarty and Caden Honeycutt, and two of the best drivers in the series. And to win one race between the two of them in 2022, they came out of the gate. They missed the race at Hickory, and then made a driver change. And I think that when it's all said and done, Landon Huffman did he was a big reason that Nelson Motorsports had kind of – he helped them get off the mat and get back to being relevant. No, granted, it's not just all Landon. You know, their team rallied around him and made it happen. But I think that was a signature moment that, hey, Nelson Motorsports is back. And then for him to finish second at Martinsville, Trevor Ward was a big deal too. For me, probably the coolest moment. And then to get wrapped up, I think the coolest thing for me, we've had a lot of cool guests and done a lot of cool stuff, but the opportunity to go down to Dirty Mo at the beginning of the year and sit down with Junior and reveal the Touring 12 in his studio, just to get his insight on the drivers and the teams and his expectations. That was a really cool deal for me, to be able to sit down beside him and talk Cars Tour. That was a big deal. Really grateful for what he and Kevin and Jeff and Marks have done in year one. Excited about the potential of the Cars Tour. And hopefully it'll continue to trend in the right direction. Those guys are smart. They've done this for a long time. I think my biggest hope is that they all have great ideas. But just, I think the biggest thing that I would like to see them do better is mesh those all together and not just where I have this idea and he has this idea. Like, I think the collaboration, the communication is probably a thing that, and that's in any business, right? When you've got, you know, alpha males in all these areas that feel like that's their way. I feel like if they can communicate and they can get on the same page on some small things, not the big things, the small things, I think it makes the transition even smoother.
Well said. And a great season. I know we're going to do some reveals coming up later, but hard to believe we're at the end of season three, but nice job.
I appreciate it, man. And I can't thank you and Dave Perkins enough for what you guys do to make us sound good each and every week. Would also be very remiss not to thank, you know, Ron Patterson, Trey Thacker, Donnie Pereer over at Pereer Tank Lines for all that they've done this year. Roger Johnson at Performance Center Racing Warehouse. Roger's been, me and him talk quite a bit, you know, off the record about things going on in the series. And he's really proud of being affiliated with us. And that makes me feel really good about what we're doing as far as putting out a good product. Dylan Meredith at Volt Battery Technologies. He started that venture, wanted to do some advertising. I said, well, hey man, I said, this is a good way to do it. And got a chance to talk with him at Tri-County and his business is booming. And I really love hearing things like that. And then Adam Zirkle at GeoCut. He does the race trace on the weekends at the racetrack. But he also does some the GeoCut stuff that he does. He's fabricating, you know, chassis parts. He actually does stuff for my graphic solution side as far as some powder coating and things like that. So, but, you know, without those guys, this isn't possible. So really grateful for the partnerships and the friendships that I've been able to build with those guys over the years. And then, you know, I'd be remiss to not thank, you know, Kurt and Lynette IPOC from Solid Rock Carriers. You know, they were our title sponsor for the first 2 years. They're still at the racetrack and still really good friends. PJ Bryan at BST, he was a sponsor for a couple of years, still talk to PJ quite often. But if it's not for, you know, those people that helped us early on, then we don't get to year three. So excited about the opportunity. Hopefully we can kick off year four here in late February, early March when the season takes off. But again, thank you for all you do and excited about getting to Caraway this weekend and seeing how this season wraps up. Guys, thank you so much for listening. 29 episodes here in 2023, and wouldn't be possible without you, the fans. Thank you guys for listening, checking us out each and every week. We hope to see you at Caraway on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock when Brandon Willett raised the green flag on the 21st annual North-South Shootout. That's the checkered flag on this edition of the Stickered Up Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Dunn.
Be sure to share this podcast. New episodes of Stickered Up will be available wherever you download your podcasts.